As many of you know, Friday is my day off. Also, as many of you know, I am not exactly an early riser. Morning person is not on my resume in any way, shape, or form. So on my day off, I like to sleep in a little bit. And as I was looking forward to doing that very thing on Friday, I didn't have a ton of things planned for that day. We've been having a bit of car trouble, so I've been dropping Bonnie off to work, but she didn't have to be in until 11. So I figured I would wake up, perhaps have a leisurely breakfast, hang out with the family, check my email, and drive Bonnie to work and Miriam to school. Well, I don't remember what time it was, so I don't know if it was if it would have been early for a normal person. But the following events happened way yonder earlier than I wanted to be up out of bed. I was awoken by my wife. Now, gentlemen, those of you that are married, you know what I'm talking about here. Her voice, it had that tone, the one that said, "I need your attention right now, because things aren't quite right." Ladies, I'm sure that we men have a similar tone of voice, but I can't really relate to that. But her voice had a level of urgency, I love you, honey, had a level of urgency that made me immediately realize that something was going on. Of course, I immediately jumped to the worst. Is the house being invaded? Is the bed on fire? Are we currently spinning around in a tornado? This was when my wife, bless her heart, revealed, "David, we have a bee problem, another bee problem. I woke up with one in my hair, and they are covering the wall." Bees? We have a bee problem? Now, I know that I'm not the most manly man out there. I have come to accept that. But I am willing to do anything for my family. Home invader? I have a plan for that. Fire? There's a plan for that, too. Spinning around in a tornado, Wizard of Oz style, well, that plan is a little more hazy. But I think I could probably improv it. Beans? I was not expecting beans. Incidentally, and this really doesn't add to the point of the story, but I just have to tell you how awesome my wife is. This is a woman that woke up to the problem of beans in hair, and her response was simply to wake me up and start problem solving. Now, I got to admit, had I woken up to the problem of bees in hair, I may have run screaming from the room. Like I said, not the most manly of men. But I'm okay with that. Anyway, sure enough, my wife was not having some kind of a nightmare. There were, and I kid you not, probably around 30 yellow jackets flying around the room. So much for my leisurely morning. No rest for me on that day, I guess. And off we went to the task of keeping Miriam out of the room full of bees and problem-solving said bee issue. And in an odd way, this whole ordeal reminded me of our gospel passage today. It is kind of an oddity, really, this passage. You see, there doesn't really seem to be a story, per se. Rather, it's more of what I would call a connector passage. This is the stuff that happens to Jesus and his friends in between whatever cool and interesting story comes before and after it. This is just the mundane, everyday stuff that happens to them. But in reality, a lot can be learned from what Jesus does in these in-between times. But in order to understand these in-between times, we need to take a look at what they are, well, in between. Directly before our gospel passage is the story of the death of John the Baptist. But that story itself is a flashback to the larger context of the gospel in order to explain why Herod believes that Jesus may be John back from the dead. Long story short, we can discount that passage as being relevant today. So really, even though the death of John is what comes right before our story, the actual event that occurs right before our story is that Jesus sends out the disciples two by two into the world alone. He gives them power over the unclean spirits, and he essentially sends them out to continue his ministry all throughout the land. It's the classic idea of, if we split up, then we can cover more ground. But I also think that it was kind of a test run. Jesus knows that he is going to be killed, resurrected, and ascend into heaven, and he wants to see how the disciples fare on their own. So he sends them out to do the work of God without Jesus holding their hand along the way. And our passage begins when they return and gather around Jesus, all excited to tell him all of the things that they have done. And you've got to imagine that these folks are exhausted. They have scoured the land, bringing the good news to all that they found, casting out unclean spirits in the name of Jesus, and now they are back with their master, and they are tired. And Jesus saw that, and he realized that they were tired, and that even then, people were coming and going, so that the disciples and Jesus had no time to rest from the work that they had done. So Jesus takes the disciples to a deserted place, but even there the people followed. No rest for the disciples or Jesus, I guess. Not on that day. Then our passage today actually skips over some of the work that Jesus and the disciples do. They feed a crowd with less food than they thought they would need, and then Jesus walks on water. But instead of dwelling on those cool stories, our lectionary reading jumps to yet another one of these in-between places, these in-between passages. After crossing to the other side of the sea, they realize that they still can't get any rest. More people have crowded around them. They still can get no solace. I love how Mark portrays this frenzy. In verses 54 and 55, he says this: when they got out of the boat, people at once recognized him and rushed about that whole region and began to bring the sick on mats to wherever they heard he was. Now, the rushing that Mark is talking about is the rushing of the crowd. But who do you think had to deal with all of those people? Yep, the disciples and Jesus, even though they were exhausted. And guess what? In the next passage, the one that follows our reading today, there still is no rest for the weary. The Pharisees come and try to entrap Jesus, and the exhausted Jesus and his tired disciples have to deal with that in a level-headed manner. But our passage consists of these in-between times when the disciples and Jesus try to find a little bit of rest and instead are confronted with the reality that their ministry is not on hold. They're exhausted, but they still have to do the Lord's work. Sound familiar? What do you think, Irene? Sound familiar? Irene, if you don't know, Irene just got back from taking the youth to a retreat. How much sleep did you get? A little bit? How much rest? You a little bit tired? Jill? You recovered from VBS yet? Barely? How about the other volunteers? Too many to name that came out to help with VBS. Y'all tired? I went on vacation right after VBS, but you all, God bless you, y'all kept going. Session members will tell you that I tried to implement a new thing in our session meeting, this most recent meeting, in order to shorten the meetings a bit. They will also tell you that it was a miserable failure. Elders, did you get home on Monday at a reasonable time? No? Guess what? There ain't no rest for disciples of Jesus. There wasn't rest back then, and there ain't no rest now either. But here's the remarkable thing that I see in our passage. At first it seems so bland. Nothing happens. No major miracles. No new teaching. But there is one thing that really strikes me. Jesus' presence. with the one exception that Jesus sends the disciples away on the boat ahead of him, Jesus is present with his followers, even in their exhaustion. He's present for them even in his own exhaustion. So, my friends, we have a job ahead of us, a task of utmost importance. Last week I declared that we are created for the purpose of worship, and I emphasized the aspect of praising our Creator on Sunday morning. But part of that worship is furthering His kingdom, and that is a lot of work. And I'm not going to lie to you, it is exhausting work, it is tiring. When the disciples come back from their mission, they just want to rest, and they can't even do that. But exhausting or not, it is our task, it is our duty, it is what we were created for, and Jesus is there with us along the way. Now, of course, we are only human. We need to pace ourselves. I myself just recently had a vacation, but even in those times of downtime, our mission isn't gone. So I have a few things to say about our duty. To those of you that are constant warriors in this fight, I named a few of you earlier, but please don't take offense if you're named more than there are far too many of you to name out loud. But to you all, take heart, my friends. I know it is exhausting work, but you can do it with God's strength. You can do it. We can do it. And to those of you that maybe aren't quite as active in our mission to further God's kingdom, now is the time, my friends. This is it. You are being called by God to step up. Yes, it is exhausting, but there is no thing more rewarding. You notice anything else in our passage today? Or rather, you notice something that is missing. None of the disciples quit. None of them say, "Look, Jesus, man, I love your message. I really do. I like what you're all about. But seriously, I'm tired. I'm going home, man." There's none of that because Jesus gave them the strength to persevere, the power to keep going. Now is the time to further the kingdom of God. And of course, it's not just at Bethel that you can do that. You can do that at work or at home by living a godly life, one that is an example to others. But I want to talk about how we can do it at Bethel. Perhaps this is the time that God is calling you to join a committee. Perhaps this is the time that God is calling you to get active in the women's circle or the men's group. Or maybe you are already a member of one of these things, one of these committees. But maybe you're not as active as you could be. Perhaps God is calling you to volunteer to take on some of those things that would otherwise fall on the plate of the chair of that committee. Maybe God is calling you to join Irene on the next youth trip. Exhausting. Is it worth it? He says it's worth it. So regardless of what God is calling us all to do, I think that every once in a while we need to ask ourselves, are we dedicating enough of our time, enough of our being to furthering the kingdom of God? Or are we just focusing on our need for rest? Friday is my day of rest. And of course, we all need Sabbath. We all need vacation. I'm not trying to say that you should spend every waking moment at church doing church work. But Friday is my day of rest. But the bees had a different plan for me. Perhaps this is your bee moment. Perhaps this is the time that God is telling you that you need to prioritize His will over your own. Not to the point of burning out, but just to the point of helping and furthering God's kingdom. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Amen.